Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about God's purpose now. Not our idea of what he's doing in our lives, but from his perspective, what are his goals? What are his intentions? What is his involvement in our lives? What is he getting out of our time here on this earth? And just to do a quick recap before we wrap this part up, the first thing that God's purpose encompasses is in giving himself. He made us to be receivers thing he wants to give. Now, we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time accepting unconditional love. We haven't experienced it. We don't understand it. It's beyond our comprehension. And so we have a hard time accepting that that could be a possibility, that God would give unconditionally, and that he made us to receive unconditionally. We always want to have a balance. That if God, for instance, if God heals me, it's so I can go out and heal others. Or if God reveals himself in to me, then it's my job to share what he's revealed with others. And that's not God's perspective. As Christians, as spirit beings, you and I now have that same nature. So we separate the desire to share and to give what we have received. But when we start looking at the unconditional part, that's where we have some work to do in bringing our soul into alignment. Because we still assume that God has strings attached to what he gives us. And we still attach strings when we give. Even if it's just, well, I do it because it makes me feel good. No, you do it, you give, you share, you put out what you have, what God has put in, because that's now who you are. For no other reason. But this is something that takes time. And God revealing himself and bringing your soul into alignment, releasing you from your flesh, healing your wounds, revealing truth. But this is God's main purpose because this is his nature. Remember, God's nature is love. And he expresses that love by giving himself. Secondly, he reveals himself. God's purpose now is to reveal himself, his nature, his being. And as part of that, he's revealing our own nature. He's revealing who you are to you and who I am to me. And that's important to him. We want to deal with reality. What does it mean to be a spirit being? When we say, I have a soul and I live in a body, what does that mean? Well, God wants that real to you. He wants to reveal truth to you, not just things that are true, not just cool things about the scriptures or cool things about what God is doing or even future events. who he is and who you are, things that really matter. Another thing God desires to do, his purpose for himself now, is he wants to direct us. Because he wants to expand relationship with us, that he will put us in situations where we need direction so we can receive direction. And when we try to stay in the same place because it's comfortable or we have control over it, very often God will have to wrestle our comfort zone and disturb our comfortable nest so that we will need him. Receiving, desiring and receiving direction is one of the purposes God has for developing, or ways, methods for developing relationship. This is an experience, again, that's better felt than telt. And God wants us to hold out for his presence and not just methods and process. Like, here's the three steps to recognizing God's signs in your life in order to receive direction. How many conferences do you need to go to in order to receive direction? How much fasting do you need to do? Fill in the blank. And God says, no, my purpose now, God speaking, my purpose now is to direct you. By turning elsewhere, you are denying God his purpose. So we go to God first, first, last, and always. Now, he may use other people, and he may use other things, and he may express himself in whatever way he chooses. But when you and I turn to him first, he is then free to direct us in any way he chooses. We all know the scripture about Jesus knocking on the door, wanting to come in. This is one of those areas. What's he doing on the other side of the door? When we turn to someone and say, help me interpret this dream, or I have a decision to make, help me to make this decision, and we do this before asking God, he then has to intrude on our plans. And God does not like being an intruder. He wants to be first choice. He wants to be in our homes, not on the outside wanting to get in. Not interrupting our plans, but being our plan. Next, God's purpose for now, his purpose in your life, is to consume your flesh, to heal your wounds so you don't need your crutches, and then teach you how to walk again, how to run, how to leap across the mountaintops, how to fly. But first, he has to heal you. And he wants to. He wants to reveal the lies you've been believing about yourself, about him, and about others, that he is a mean God, that he retaliates, that he's so strict that if we fail, he holds it against us. And he will destroy nations because their leader is corrupt. And yet, the more time we spend with him, we begin to see that that is not his nature. That is not giving. Now, he may do things we don't understand, or he may even do things we don't agree with. But that's our problem, not his. That's our lack of understanding. And there's going to be times when we will not gain the understanding as to what God is doing in this lifetime. And we will just have to resign ourselves to that and embrace. This is where faith comes in. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you love me, and I know you love everybody and everything in this situation. So I know that what you are doing is for our good. This often comes back to this idea of our understanding of what happens next, this eternity thing, that how you die here is going to determine how close you are to God in the next thing. And these are some of the understandings that God wants to free us from. As we begin to see, our misconceptions are keeping us from being healed. Once you release one lie, one myth, one doctrine, and he replaces it with a simplicity of truth, we are much more willing to go to him and say, Lord, that was so much fun, let's do more. That was so freeing, let's do more. And he does. And we talked about how very often, by the time God reveals to us an area in our life where he is freeing us, where he is consuming our flesh, where he is revealing a lie to replace it with the truth, he's been working on it for much longer than we were even aware of. But he brings us in at the end so we can be involved with the final adjustments, with the final freedom, with being brought out of prison. Well, why doesn't he bring us in at the very beginning? Wouldn't that bring him more glory? Well, the problem is we would try to help, and he doesn't need our help. Why doesn't God reveal everything he's doing in all our lives and in the global situation? Why doesn't God reveal where his hand is to bring up and where it's to raise to lower? Why doesn't he reveal everything he's doing? Because then we wouldn't learn to hear his still small voice that just says, be patient. I've got this under control. I don't need your help. But I do want you to spend more time with me. If instead we could document and follow what he's doing in our lives and in the world, we really wouldn't need a relationship. Information, ATM. Lord, what's going on here? Push a few buttons here, you know, spit it out like a fortune cookie. But God wants you. God wants me. He wants to be with us. Finally, God's purpose now is to teach us how to walk in freedom. He's teaching us how to live as spirit beings on a very practical level, day by day, moment by moment. His purpose is to teach us in practical terms how to walk in this life in freedom from the influence of our enemies, from the influence of the world system, free from our flesh, our crutches, and free from the influences of the devil. That doesn't mean he removes the world system. He doesn't mean that he meets our needs in a way that we don't have needs. It's just he meets them. And it's not that he removes the devil from our lives. Just he shows us how to overcome. He teaches us how to use the authority that we already have. So it doesn't mean that he removes us from the influence of our enemies, or that he removes them from this earthly realm. It does mean that as we learn to walk in confident victory, day by day, we become impervious to their influence. Like brushing the dirt off of our shoes. You know, the enemy knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get a reaction from us. He's been doing this for thousands of years. He knows, for human beings, there's really only a few buttons that he needs to learn, that he needs to push. And just because God disconnects one of your buttons by freeing you, by healing your wounds, by giving you the truth, doesn't mean he's going to stop trying. He's still going to come over and slam on that button, try to get a reaction out of you. It just won't work. So don't be reading into, okay, wait a minute, I've been through this situation before. I thought I'd overcome it. Why am I here again? Because the devil's still here. And God's going to leave him here for our good. That's what he sent him here for. And this is one of God's major goals. This is one of his big purposes for our time here on earth, what he wants to accomplish. So he spends 24 hours every day doing nothing but thinking about us and arranging our lives and circumstances to draw us into perfect union within our being, spirit, soul, and body, and complete unity with him. Now, this is not a comprehensive list. Let God reveal to you what his purpose is in your life, not what your purpose is. But what does he desire to do in your life? You know, we think, okay, we want him to do this, that, and the other thing. But what does he want to do? We have a limited time here on this earth. And God's the one who limited it. But our times and our seasons are in his hands. So we know that what he wants to accomplish in us can and will be done in that span of time. So, what hinders God's purpose now? Nothing. Nothing can hinder God from accomplishing his purpose. There's nothing you can do, nothing your enemies can do, nothing in your circumstances will hinder him from accomplishing these purposes we just talked about. He will not let anything, our mind, our will, our emotions, stand in his way of accomplishing his purposes. Our soul, even our will, is not stronger than God. This is one of those fallacies we have to get over. That, oh, God gave us free will, and he has to honor that so we can tell him no. Or we can exert our will and make a big mistake, and God just has to learn to live with it. Well, that's not the truth at all. Your will is not free. Your mind is not free. Your emotions are not free. They're becoming free. But as soon as you were born into this earth, your mind, will, and emotions became encumbered because your mind, your will, and emotions did not have God. There's only been one person born into this earth with a free will, and that's Jesus. Now, Adam was created with a free will, but only one person born with a free will. All the rest of us have been stuck with a wounded, confused, misguided, totally directionless will. So to say that this burden on our will and say that it's all up to us where we spend eternity, again, these are things we need to take a second chance, second look at. Give God a chance to reveal his truth. Now, in a lot of ways, this may change your whole theology. This may change your whole outlook on life and on God, and even perhaps on how you're spending your Christian life. Well, so be it. We're after the truth. We're not after a teaching. We're not even after understanding. We want the truth. We want what's real. And any doctrine that, beyond challenging, we know it can't up to stand up to God. Because God's truths will stand up to any questioning. We may not understand it, but this goes back to why we learn to hear his voice and why we learn to test what we hear, so that we will know the truth and be set free. Who you truly are, your spirit, has already given God permission to do whatever he wants to do in your life. And that spirit is actively cooperating with God's dealings in your life. And it doesn't matter what your will thinks. It doesn't matter what your mind thinks. It doesn't matter what your emotions think. Doesn't matter how badly damaged you are or how gifted you are. Your spirit is cooperating with God to bring about God's purpose in your life. That's all that matters. So even when we want him to stop interfering in our lives or changing our beliefs, because you know change is hard. And change very often can start a domino effect. When we feel like we can't go on, it is just our soul resisting change. That desire for calm, for stability, will not deter God from his purposes. We want our circumstances to line up with our temperament. And God very often will put us in exactly the opposite temperament or situation that is opposite to our temperament, because he doesn't want us relying on the strength of our temperament. Over time, as we learn to recognize that he's giving us victory in specific areas, he reveals it to us an area in our lives where we used to struggle, we're not struggling anymore. A situation that might have brought us pain is no longer bringing us pain. An area where we're facing with dread, a decision, a change, a move, all of a sudden we get excitement. We learn to rest and abide and just be there, even as the situation gets more confusing. Because that rest, that contentment, does not come from our circumstances. It comes from being with Him, spirit, soul, and body. So how do we join God in accomplishing His purposes? So now we see, okay, He has specific things He wants to accomplish in us, and that there's nothing that can hinder God accomplishing those things on His timetable. But hopefully we've learned enough about Him that we recognize that He loves us and that it is in our best interest to join Him in what He's doing. There's going to be places in your life where you are going to fight Him, where you're going to struggle to maintain control. And God knows that and knew it, but will not let you win. Now, He may not get it all taken care of in this lifetime, probably not, but there's something else. You know, it makes perfect sense that there's something else, another opportunity for Him to accomplish what He wants to in our lives. Otherwise, why doesn't He just take us out now? If He's going to change us in a twinkling of an eye, why doesn't He twinkle now? Why do we have to go through change? And some people go through a little change, and some people go through a lot. Some people become Christians at the end of their lives, and they've been able to do what they want most of their lives. Why is each situation so different? If we're all going to end up in the same boat or on the same throne or walking the same gold streets because we have a misunderstanding of how God works. We have a misunderstanding of time. We have a misunderstanding of concepts. And if you ever started looking at the history of the church, you'd be amazed at how we got to believing what we're believing. What we believe now is certainly not what the church always believed. Certainly not doctrines that line up with first century Christianity, let alone what Jesus taught. But this is where we're at. So this is where we start. But learning to walk in the Spirit, be spirit, is not as hard as it is sometimes made out to be if we simply remember that it is God Himself doing the teaching. If it were up to us to learn, we'd be hopeless. But God Himself is providing everything we need to join Him in His purposes now. So we'll start there next week, the same time. Until then, if you have any questions or feedback, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.